Nicodemus was a religious Jewish leader who was seeking to find an answer to something that was really troubling and bothering him. And he came to Jesus one night because Jesus' life had provoked a question which put Nicodemus in a quandary and sent him on a quest. And this is going to be our outline for today's message. Nicodemus was a religious leader of Israel. He was a Pharisee, which meant he daily lived by a rigid set of rules. He was very careful about the company he kept. He was careful about the food he ate. He was careful about the places he went. And he was careful about the clothes he wore. And on the list went of all the things Nicodemus could and could not do. Not only was Nicodemus a Pharisee, but he was also a member of the Jewish Sanhedrin Council. This was the highest Jewish authority allowed to function under the Roman government. The Romans controlled and occupied the land of Israel at this time. You know, no doubt Nicodemus was a very respected man. No doubt he was highly intelligent and well-educated. No doubt he was very motivated. But there was something Nicodemus knew that was missing in his life. He was searching. He was searching for some answers. Nicodemus knew all about keeping religious rules and regulations and laws, but there was just that something missing in his life. And Jesus provoked a question that put Nicodemus in a quandary that sent him on a quest. And we learn of Nicodemus in John's Gospel, chapter 3, and starting from verse 1, we read, "Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, 'Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him.'" You know, Nicodemus was basically asking Jesus, "Who are you? Who are you?" You know, there are things about Jesus which could not be explained apart from the fact that God was with him. Obviously, Nicodemus had been observing and hearing about what was happening to people who were believing in Jesus and about the miracles that Jesus had been performing. We don't know specifically what those miracles were, but they had gotten Nicodemus' attention, as they had all the religious leaders of the time. And the explanation Nicodemus came to was, "God is with you." And of course, Nicodemus was absolutely right. It wasn't that he recognized that Jesus Christ is God, though Jesus Christ is God, and equal with God the Father. Nicodemus recognized that Jesus was a real man, which he was. But Jesus lived his life in such a way that what flowed out of his life had its source not in man, but in God. So, who are you? Have you discovered for yourself who Jesus is? You know, many people think, well, Jesus was a good man. He was a religious teacher. He was a prophet. And all that is true. But there's so much more to know and learn about Jesus. Do you know who Jesus is? If not, are you seeking and searching to find out that answer? You need to. For this is one of the most important questions that you will ever face and answer in your life. Who is Jesus Christ? And it was what Jesus said to Nicodemus that threw him into a further quandary. Verse 3. In reply, Jesus declared, "I tell you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." You know, Nicodemus, you may be a religious leader amongst the Jews. You may have studied theology. You may have even taught about God and have talked about the kingdom of God, but you will never, ever experience, nor will you ever know, or will you ever see the working of God in your life simply by keeping rules and regulations and laws. It's not until you have been born again and become a recipient of spiritual life that you will experience the life of God. Nicodemus, you're a Pharisee. You're undoubtedly a very good Pharisee. That is why you've become a member of the Sanhedrin Council. But all your Phariseeism, all your religious regulations will not make you part of the kingdom of God. You'll never be good enough on your own. You're dealing with all the wrong stuff. When Jesus, later on in Matthew's gospel, spoke to the Pharisees, we read in Matthew chapter 23 and verse 25, Jesus said to them, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they're full of greed and self-indulgence." Nicodemus, your problem is you're trying to be spiritual. You're trying to do it all on yourself. But all you're doing is dressing up the outside of your life. Oh, you look impressive enough. But you've got it all wrong. Because inwardly, in you, you are rotten to the core through and through, and you stink. Jesus said in Matthew 23 and verse 27, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You are like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of dead man's bones and everything unclean." The Pharisees, you see, they were a holiness movement that came into existence between the Old and the New Testaments. Oh, I'm sure they started and began with good people who really wanted to live good and holy lives before God, but they became focused on law and performance. Well, all this was a little bit too much for Nicodemus, and he responded in verse 4 of John chapter 3, "How can a man be born when he is old? Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born." What Nicodemus is saying is, come on, you can't possibly be meaning I can be physically reborn. And that was right. Jesus was not talking about physical life. In verse 5, Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth. No one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and of the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but spirit gives birth to spirit." Now, when Jesus said you have to be born of water and of the Spirit, this means you have to be born physically. Flesh gives birth to flesh. You cannot enter your mother's womb a second time and be reborn again physically. That's right, Nicodemus. But there is also spiritual birth, where you're born of the Spirit of God. You've been born of the flesh, Nicodemus, but you are dead spiritually. You must receive spiritual life and be born spiritually. Flesh gives birth to flesh. You know that. But spirit gives birth to spirit. And when that happens, God will impart spiritual life to you, and you will suddenly start seeing things in a way that you've never, ever seen them before. You'll begin to understand things that you never understood before. And you'll discover that you have a whole new life that you never knew existed, because now you have spiritual life and a spiritual appetite. You know, personally, for yourself, you might know this, because when you became a Christian, a tremendous change took place in your life. Your appetite and desires and ambitions started to change. You now have an appetite to know and understand the Scriptures. You have a desire to be with God's people and a hunger for the things of God. What has happened is you've been born spiritually. You've received spiritual life. Once where you were dead spiritually, but now you have come to life and you have an appetite for spiritual things. and spiritual birth, which leads to spiritual life, is the work of God's Holy Spirit, and you can't manufacture that or do that yourself. In verse 8, Jesus said, "The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going, and so it is with everyone born of the Spirit." You know, there comes a moment when the Holy Spirit is at work. You might not know when or where it started, but you start to recognize something's happening. To Nicodemus, the wind is blowing. God is working. He's working in your heart. He's working in your life. And that's why you have come searching for the answers. But your questioning has now put you in a quandary. You need to be born again. You need to be born spiritually and come alive spiritually. You know, maybe the wind of God's Spirit is blowing in your life right now. You might think that it's just by chance that you are listening to this message right now, but it's not. You know, God, maybe over the last few days, the last few weeks, or the last month or so, things have happened in your life that have started to put you on a quest. You're in a bit of a quandary, and you're looking at some of these things, and you're going, how can all this be? And your mind is all of a sudden opened up to God in ways that it's never been before. Let me encourage you, do not ignore the drawing of God to you through His Holy Spirit. God is seeking to draw you to Himself. No one comes to the Father unless the Spirit draws him. And Nicodemus, at this moment, is on the brink of something very, very, very significant in his life. If only he'll be willing to recognize it and respond. Nicodemus asked in verse 9, "How can this be?" And Jesus responds in the next verse, verse 10, "You are Israel's teacher, and you do not understand these things?" You can almost imagine Jesus saying, "Nicodemus, what in the world are you teaching people?" And it's interesting, in the early part of John's Gospel, in chapter 1 and verse 11, John writes, "He," that is Jesus, "came to his own, but his own did not receive him." His own did not receive him because they'd been taught by people like Nicodemus who hadn't understood their real spiritual need and were trying to do their best to be spiritual and be close to God. Rather than realizing their bankruptcy of spiritual life and that they needed to be born spiritually from within. So Jesus tells Nicodemus a story from the Old Testament, a story that Nicodemus would have known well. In verse 14, Jesus said, "Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life." You can actually read this story for yourself in Numbers chapter 21. Just in brief, the story is about what happened to the Israelites when they were out in the desert, when they had journeyed from Egypt. They'd come out of Egypt and they were on their way to Canaan. And they came into an area of the desert where there were a lot of venomous snakes. And people were getting bitten and were dying from the snake bites. And Moses cried out to God for help. And God said to Moses, "I want you to make a bronze serpent and put it on a pole and place it in the middle of the camp. And any man or any woman or any child that was bitten by one of these snakes, if they just look to the bronze serpent, they will live." It was that simple. Now, that sounds like a pretty strange thing to do, doesn't it? It's not logical. How do you explain that? Well, you don't. They were to obey, they were to look, they were to believe, and they would live. You know, there were people in the Israelite camp, and Nicodemus would have known that, that said, "I don't understand how a bronze serpent in the middle of a camp can make a person well. That is absolutely ridiculous." And they died from the poison of the snake bite because they refused to obey and look and believe. And there were other folks who didn't understand how the bronze serpent could heal them, but they had nowhere else to go. They were at their wits' end, and they obeyed, and they looked, and they lived. Nicodemus, you know that story. And in the same way that Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And this event about the Son of Man being lifted up had not yet taken place. It was soon to happen, and it would transform how people would come into a relationship with God himself. You see, the question, who are you, which put Nicodemus into a quandary, brought him to you must be born again, which now led him on a quest. How can this be? I've spent my whole life, Nicodemus would have said, working hard to be spiritual. By what I've worn and how I've eaten and what I've said to people and my study and everything else. You know, when you try to reduce God to some kind of formula, it does not work. What you need to do is not know how it works. You need to obey. You need to look. You need to believe. And Jesus said in verse 16 of John chapter 3, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son." The quest is finding that spiritual life for yourself through Jesus Christ. You know, it must have been a very hard thing for Nicodemus to hear something like that, whose whole life had been built on performance and keeping the rules, who built his whole life on disciplining himself, so that he could rise up to the top of Judaism and become a Pharisee and eventually sit on the Sanhedrin Council, to now be told all that was meaningless. All your good works, all that you have strived to achieve, have earned you absolutely nothing before God. Nicodemus, you are spiritually dead. We don't know when Nicodemus believed for himself, but we do know he sorted it all out, because Nicodemus is one of two men who took Jesus' body down from the cross and buried him. We don't know, but maybe, just maybe, Nicodemus was at Jesus' crucifixion, and as he stood and watched what was unfolding, maybe at that moment of time, Nicodemus was still a Pharisee. We don't know. But he remembered his conversation with Jesus. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Maybe it was at that moment the light went on and Nicodemus said, "I believe." We don't know when it happened for Nicodemus. And that doesn't really matter when it happened. That's not the point. He did come to believe. The point now is, what about you? In John's Gospel, at the end of the Gospel, he says in chapter 20, verse 31, "These things are written so that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that in believing you might have life in his name." That you might be born again with spiritual life that comes only from God. Is this your moment to be born spiritually, to receive spiritual life, which will now bring new appetite and new desires and a new understanding into your life? Do you need to surrender your life and your will to God today? By obeying, by looking, by believing? God knows your heart. And you can surrender to him today, right now, by praying an honest, simple prayer like this. Lord Jesus, I give my life to you. I've been trying to work out my own spiritual life, but I am in a quandary and am lost. And in my quest, I come to you, Jesus, for spiritual life. Forgive me of all my wrongs and pour your Holy Spirit into my life that I might be born spiritually and receive your life, your spiritual life in mine. I pray this in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.